All right, good morning. We are in Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. Briefly kind of catch us up to where we are in the text. Just kind of go over real quick what we've already gone over throughout the book of Exodus. But Exodus chapter number 13, we see that God leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he led them by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of a fire by night. Exodus chapter number 14, immediately after departing from Egypt, the people complained as Pharaoh begins to pursue them. And in response to that complaint, the Lord parts the seas, right, and brings the children of Israel through. And at the end of this chapter, they believed in the Lord and they feared him. They saw the wonders of the Lord. They saw his mighty hand. They saw his ability to be able to lead them. Exodus chapter number 15, they soon forgot of the Lord's capabilities and they murmured at Moses because of the bitter waters of Marah. And in response, God showed them a tree that made the water sweet. There's no faith, there's no fear at the end of this chapter. And within five verses, they're murmuring again. And in Exodus chapter number 16, they're murmuring because they used to eat bread to the full in Egypt, complaining and bickering and backbiting and murmuring at the Lord and at his prophet Moses. And in response to this complaining, God begins to daily rain down bread from heaven so that these people can eat and be satisfied and have the desire of their heart satisfied. And it says for 40 years that they ate that bread called manna. But you know what you never read from these people? You never read a thank you. You never read of a grateful heart. You never read of someone praising the Lord because of all the good things that he was doing for them. And then in Exodus chapter number 17, they're complaining again because there's no water. And so what does God do? He has Moses smite the rock and out gushes the water, flows the water for them to drink. They then defeat Amalek with Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hands. And then Exodus chapter number 18, we're introduced to Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, and he tells Moses, you're going to wear away from having all these people continuously come to you with all their problems, with all their complaints, with all their murmuring. He just lets them know. And then we see in Exodus 19 all the way through 31, the smoking, the burning, the quaking of Mount Sinai. God giving Moses all the commandments, and being there with Moses up on that mount. And Exodus chapter number 24 through 32, Moses stays up on the mount a little bit longer than he did the previous times, right? He's up there for 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. And while he's up there, the children of Israel decide Moses got killed up on that mountain. God's done with us. So we're just going to make a new God. We're going to create the gods that we actually want that'll allow us to live however we want to live. And we're going to serve and worship these gods. And we're going to claim that these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. So this is what we're introduced. This is how we're introduced to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. As they're being led by God out of slavery, out of bondage, out of the grasp of Satan, this is how they're treating the Lord. This is what they're doing to the Lord. Not a very good thing. You know, and it's tough for us in any relationship when it's one-sided, right? When it feels like you're just giving, you're giving, you're giving, and the other person just doesn't appreciate it, doesn't respect it, doesn't care, isn't concerned how you think or how you view, just doesn't give you anything back. And if we put ourselves in the shoes of the Lord here, what's God doing? Just sending down blessings. Just doing everything he can for these people. And look at their response to him. Nothing but complaint. Nothing but murmuring. Nothing but whining and grumbling and complaining and disrespecting and outright denying the God that saved them from this slavery and saved them from this bondage. And so that's where we are. Exodus chapter number 32 was that, you know, that rebellion. And so now we're in Exodus chapter number 33 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it." Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for this morning. We're thankful for your word. Pray, God, that you'd help us to study these things, to read these things, to reflect upon them, to help us, God, not to be like these folks. Help us, Lord, to have a heart that loves you. Help us to have a heart that desires a true relationship with you, a true walk with you. Help us, Lord, not to displease you. Help us, Lord, to examine our own lives and help us to be a blessing, Lord, to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 is an incredible verse to read after reading chapter 32, right? We're gonna go on. I'm going to lead you into the land. I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do from the start. I'm going to honor my word. I'm going to honor my promise. I'm going to honor what I said I was going to do. Right after they just melted down all their earrings and made a golden calf to worship. Right after, you know, Moses had already brought commands down. Moses had already told them some things that he had discussed with God on Mount Sinai. He made several trips back and up, you know, up and down this mountain. He already informed them. They already agreed to the commandments. And what are they doing the moment they think they have the opportunity? Casting God off from them. Putting his commandments far away from them. In verse number 1, God says, "I'll put it away. We'll go on." And our God's an incredible God. He is a God of long suffering. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. And, you know, the people that think that we've got a different God in the Old Testament than we do in the New Testament, they're not reading the Old Testament. Because God's always been a God of grace. God's always been a God of mercy. God's always been a God that is willing to forgive and willing to pardon. And thank God for that. Because we got a lot of sins. Amen. Thank God for that, because we often transgress his commandments. Thank God for that, because as we'll see and as we read through, we can't level up to the measure that God wants us to. And so praise the Lord that he forgives us. And he desires for us to have that same type of forgiveness in our relationships, right? But praise God that he's willing to put our sins off from us, right? He's willing to separate them as far as the east is from the west. But the reader of the book of Exodus, if we were to plant ourselves in verse number 1 and just say, praise God for his mercy, praise God for his goodness, we could do that. But in the last chapter, because of their sin and because of their rebellion, 3,000 people died. Because of their sin, because of their rebellion, families were torn apart. Because of their sin and because of their rebellion, the Bible says in Exodus 32 that a plague broke out amongst the people. And so, yeah, you can glory in the forgiveness of God, and we do, right? We do. Praise the Lord for his mercy. But let's not allow his mercy and his long suffering to give us a pass, or to think that we have a pass to go and disobey and sin against Him. There's consequences for sin. There's consequences for going against the commands of the Lord. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's death to everybody it touches. It's death to your life. It's death to your family's life. And to simply glory in the mercy of God and, you know, to say, oh, I'm a sinner, but God's good. And look, those things are true, but don't you want to not sin? Don't you want to stay close to the heart of God? Don't you want to not be found amongst the midst of those people who are dancing and worshiping in front of a golden image? Don't you want to be up on the mount with God? Don't you want to be in His very presence? Don't you want to have a relationship with Him? Don't you want to prove yourself to Him? He's done so much to prove Himself to us. And it's an incredible thing that people can receive the goodness of God. They can receive the mercy of God. They can receive the grace of God, and yet they don't feel like they've got to give anything back in return. Just live however they want to live. Live in rebellion to the commands of God. But look, there's judgment for sin. And, you know, what we need to be able to do when we sin is we got to come back to God. Come back to the Lord. And the repentance that needs to happen in America isn't just people going back to church. It's the church and all the people returning to the Lord and returning to His Word and returning to His holiness. And it's a blessing to talk about the one sheep being found. And it's a blessing to talk about the prodigal son returning home. And the Bible says that. There's glory in that. There's rejoicing in that, right? There's a homecoming event. There's a party that's to be thrown. And we do. We throw that party, right? We sing those songs when somebody comes to receive Christ after wandering in the wilderness for all their life, and they come and they receive the Lord and they get saved and they get born again. It's a blessing, isn't it? It's an encouragement to our hearts when somebody cleaves unto the Lord. But once you found Him, once you found the Savior, once you know the life, once you've seen the light, to go back into the darkness again, to go back to wallowing in the mire again, to go back to the devil's playpen again, it's a shameful thing. That's an event that we should never want to happen in our life. And yes, God's arms are always wide. Don't get me wrong. God's always gracious. We read chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter of the children of Israel murmuring, complaining, bickering, rebelling. And what's God doing? Arms wide. Come on back. I'll receive you again. But wouldn't it have been better to be Moses throughout that time? Because we're going to read some things about a special connection that Moses had with the Lord that is enviable and something that we should desire. But verses 2 through 5, the Bible says, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his garments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." You know what the Lord said? "I cannot dwell amongst you, because if I was there, I'd just want to kill you all the time." That's what He said. "I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to fellowship with you. I need to be over there because if I'm here in the midst of you, I'm just going to want to plague you and destroy you. Right? Isn't that what he said? So he said, just put me over there. I got to stay out of this camp. But you know what these people needed in order for them to go and take this land? They needed the presence of the Lord. They needed God to go with them. You know, they fought that fight with Amalek. Somebody covered the lesson. You know what had to happen the entire time? Moses had to have his hands up. Because if Moses didn't have his hands up, they weren't winning that war. For you to have an entire congregation of people and only one of them is in touch with the Lord, only one of them has power with God, only one of them can go and speak with the Lord, and only one of them God doesn't want to kill when he's around him. I mean, it's a blessing for Moses, and he's an incredible example, but wouldn't you want to be like Moses? Wouldn't you want to have that relationship? Wouldn't you want to have that power with God? To where if you held your arms up, he's going to win that war for you? What an incredible thing. But God said, I can't dwell amongst you. I'm going to want to kill you every time I'm around you. Look at verse number 6. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. You know what he said? Take your ornaments off of you. You got all this glitter. You got all these apparel. You got this jewelry. You got these earrings. You got these necklaces that you wear to what? To pretty yourself up. To make you look good in the eyes of others. You know what he said? Take it all off. Take it all off. You think you're good. You think you look good. But I can see your heart. And it don't look good. It's wicked. It's filled with complaining. It's filled with bitterness. It's filled with evil. It's filled with strife. It's filled with discontent. He said, take that stuff off from you. And isn't that Americans today? We got our jewelry on. We got our suit. We got our tie on. We look all good. Try to fix our hair as best as we possibly can, especially when we start losing it, right? Try to cover up our bald spots and stuff. But you know what God said? He said, take it all off. You think you look good, but I can see your heart. And I know you're just hiding. And you know what's incredible about these folks? Their ornament. You know what ornament? That's jewelry, right? They just used all their jewelry to melt it down to make a god to worship. And you know what they do before the end of the chapter? They put it all back on. You just use that to make a false god and to worship it. And now you're putting it back on? Acting like you got things figured out? But isn't that us? We act like we got it all figured out. We act like we're doing just fine. But the Lord said, I see your heart. And if I come through you and I see you all prettied up and all dressed up and all acting like everything's fine, acting like you didn't just bow down before a calf, and make a false god and a false image and bow down before it, I'm gonna take you out. Take that stuff off from you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. You know, the fact that God could look at them and say, I don't want to have any fellowship with you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to talk to you. You'd think that would be a bad place to be, right? You would think that would be a place where I need to change. I need to get right. I need to reorder my life so that I can have fellowship with God. But, you know, these folks, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It doesn't stop here. I'm not going to go forward into other people's lessons. But what do they continue to do? More complaining, right? More murmuring. Right? Verse number 7. The Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. You know what we got to do if we want to fellowship with God? We got to go out from the crowd, don't we? We got to go out from the complainers. We got to go out from the murmurers. We got to go out from the folks that are just constantly grumbling and whining and complaining about the Lord and about His church and about His people. We got to go out from amongst those people.
Amen.
Right? We got to go out from the world to be separated, to be isolated, to have a relationship with the Lord. He said, you want fellowship with me? You got to come out here to do it. You got to come out here to do it. And that's what God desires. You know, when we stand before God, it's just going to be us and God. It's not going to be all those people that we got their opinions. It's not going to be all of our friends on Facebook. It's not going to be all the social media crowd and all the influencers, right? They're not going to be there. It's going to be you and God. It's going to be you in front of the Lord. And He's going to say, did you come out from among them? I told you what I wanted from you. I gave you my words. I gave you my commands. I told you how to live. Did you come out? And a lot of people, they think just because the crowd loves them and because all the people adore them and they have the approval and the satisfaction of others, they think that somehow that grants them approval in the eyes of God. Well, the Bible says it doesn't. In fact, oftentimes when you have the approval of everybody, you probably don't have the approval of God. Because you're doing something to appease all of these people. But what are you doing to please the Lord? What are you doing to separate yourself to God? Because I'll tell you, Moses was right with God all that time. Obviously, we read about an instance where he got frustrated at the people of the Lord. But pretty clean record, right, for Moses? Right with God. And guess what? The people hated him. Hated him. Complained about him all the time. The minute he was gone on that mountain, a little bit longer than the previous times, they said, Moses is gone, he's done, we're moving on. Right? So what should we desire? We should desire to be right with the Lord, not right with everybody else. Be right with God. Verse number 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. What a thing to behold. What an incredible event that's happening here. Moses speaking face to face with the Lord. Moses has a personal relationship with God. But I'll tell you today, Americans, we're so wrapped up in the ornaments, aren't we? We want the things. We want the house. We want the cars. We want the designer clothes. We want all the things to pretty us up on the outside. But you know, when Moses entered that tabernacle and God came down and spoke with him like he speaks to a friend, you know what happened? All those people, they were in their tents, and they're watching that event unfold from afar. And I bet you know what they're thinking to themselves? Man, I wish I had that relationship with the Lord, the Creator, the one that made us, the one that formed us. Look at how Moses can speak to him. Look at how he goes down and he speaks with Moses. And Americans today and people today, we're so materialistic. We're so wrapped up in the things of this life. But I'll tell you, you get a look at someone that has a relationship, a true relationship with God, and you don't envy that, something's wrong. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing better in life than that right there. That close communion with the Lord. That close fellowship with the one that made you. That close communication with your Creator. But I'll tell you, most of these people, they could only look from afar. Right? When he was going up and down Mount Sinai, the Lord said, don't touch this mountain. Don't get close. If you touch it, I'm gonna kill you. Right? Say why? Because most people didn't want to separate themselves. They didn't want to live in a way that was pleasing to God. And so because of that, God couldn't dwell with them. He said, I could, but if I was there, I'd just want to take you out. So I'm not going to. Me and you are going to have some separation. You're not going to have that fellowship with me that you could have if you sanctified yourself, if you made yourself clean in your hearts. I don't care about your ornaments. I don't care about the way you dress. I don't care about the way you look on Sunday. I don't care about what kind of car you drive. I don't care about what everybody else thinks about you. Are you doing what I want you to do so that I can have fellowship with you? Are you living in such a way that would cause me to be able to come down and talk with you and fellowship with you? Say this is just an Old Testament thing, you know, Moses's type of the law, and, you know, Moses, God gave the commandments to Moses. You know what it says in the book of Revelation? Jesus is standing outside the door. He's knocking. Because people won't let him in. Christians won't let him in. Christians won't allow him to come in and fellowship with them. Say why? Because they got too many ornaments. They got too many things. They got too many idols set up in their hearts. Too many things that they put in front of God in a relationship with God. Yet look at all the incredible things that he's done for us. Look at how he's led us out of Egypt. Look at how he's saved us from the grasp of Pharaoh, the devil. Look at how he's led us out of the world. Look at how he's cleansed us and he's saved us and he's given us this path to walk and he's blessed us. He's given us eternal life. Best gift you could ever give someone. You know what Christians do? I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't want to talk to God today. I'd rather watch this new special. I'd rather take some time to catch up on the news. I could be entering into the presence of God. I could. God said, I gave you all access. You've got access to me. You can come into my throne. You can have fellowship with me anytime you want. But most people, they're just standing outside the tent, watching other people go up to God, communicate with God, have fellowship with God. But you know, there's a reason why Moses could have this relationship with the Lord. Look at his heart. Look at his prayer. The children of Israel, what was their, you know, you say it was a prayer, but it wasn't even a prayer. It was just them complaining, right? If they would have got to the waters that were bitter and they would all got down on their knees and they would have said, Lord, we need some good water here. Can you help us? You know what God would have done? He'd have done it, right? He did it even when they were complaining. Gave them sweet water. All they had to do was ask. All they had to do was go to the Lord. Instead, what were they doing? Bickering, murmuring amongst each other, right? Backbiting Moses, complaining about God. Oh, if only we'd stayed in Egypt. If only we'd stayed under the dominion of Pharaoh. If only we had the whips on our back again, right? That's what they did. Instead of just praying to God and asking him to help them, they just decided to complain about it. But verse number 13, look at Moses' prayer. This is Incredible thing. Say, why could he have fellowship with God? Why could he communicate with God face to face? Because this was his heart. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. You know, the children of Israel were so concerned with my flesh, my flesh, my flesh, my needs, my desires, my wants, my will, me, 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 right? The entire book, it's all about them. You know what Moses said? Show me your way. Show me your way. I want to know you. How do you want me to act, Lord? How do you want me to live, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? You know, we got a Bible filled with 66 books that tells us exactly how God wants us to act, tells us exactly what type of people God wants us to be, right? Tells us what he desires from us in this life. You know, all we got to do is just read it and know it and learn it, spend time in it, right? Go to it prayerfully, consider it. All we got to do is look to the Word of God and look to the Scripture and look to the Lord. And God said, I'll show you exactly who you need to be. I'll show you exactly what type of person you need to be in order for me to come down and talk to you face to face, communicate with you, have fellowship with you. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10, the same prayer, we won't turn there, same prayer was uttered by the Apostle Paul, right? That I may know him. I may know him. That was the desire of this man's heart. And I'll tell you, when we get to that place where we're more concerned with God and less concerned with the things that God can give us, we're in a way better position to be able to have a relationship and to be able to communicate with the Lord. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the earth that are upon the face of the earth. You know, a man that communicated with God face to face, a man that ascended up Mount Sinai and spoke with the Lord when nobody else was allowed to come up, a man that had direct communication with God, spoke to him face to face, a man that experienced that in his life, throughout his life, multiple times, all the time, fellowship with God. You know what he said? You know what conclusion he came to? He said, I don't want to be without you. I don't want to be in a position where your presence isn't there. If you're not going to go, if you're going to stay here, I'm staying here with you. If you're going to go, if you're going to move on, I'll move on with you. But I'm going to be where you are. I'm going to stay where you are. I'll tell you, that's the heart of a believer. That's the heart of somebody who loves God. You know, for somebody to go back into the world, go back into Egypt, go back into sin, knowing God isn't going to follow them there, and just concerned with their flesh, just concerned with their lusts, not concerned with the fact that you're not in the presence of the Lord anymore. God can't fellowship with you anymore. God's not going to go there. You know what the prodigal son had to do? He had to come home, right? He had to come home. He's not going out there in the pig pen with us. You got to be here. You got to be in my house. You got to stay in fellowship with me. But I'll tell you, Moses accomplished some incredible things. And not only did he accomplish incredible things, but God revealed incredible things to him, right? We've got 5 minutes left. can't go over all this, but let's go ahead and read it. Verse number 17, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What's Moses about? You, God, show me thy glory. Stay with me. Abide with me. Your presence, your love, your grace. That's what I want to know. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Those of you new to the church, people who have been here for a while, I'm sure you guys have listened to this. Brother James preached the message on eyewitness of creation. Go back and listen to that message. Incredible things that the Lord revealed to Moses. But why could he do it? Why could he reveal to him those things? Why could he show him all of that glory? Look at his heart. Look at his relationship with the Lord. And look at the revelations that God gave to him. Right? Look at, you ever study in the Bible and you come across something and the Lord just blesses you? Reveals something to you? Right? Find some cross references, you find some different things in the scripture, and you say, wow, what a blessing. How incredible God is, right? How he reveals himself to us through his word. It's exactly what God did for Moses. Gave him revelations. The apostle Paul, in the New Testament, he said, revelation, he got revelations from the Lord. He say, why? Because he wanted to be close to the heart of God. He wanted a relationship with the Lord. And we're all worried about our ornaments. What about the revelations that God can give you? What about the lights that God can give you? What about the glory that God can give you? You get a glimpse of those things, you're not going to want the ornaments. You're not going to want the things of this life. There's a God in heaven, and he desires communication with his people. He desires a relationship with his people. But guys, it's on our end. He's not going to force us to come. God's not a Calvinist. He's not going to make you come and worship him. You got to do that yourself. But why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't I want to? Because of this thing right here. Because of this flesh. That's why the Bible says you got to put it down. You got to kill that thing. You want fellowship with me? You want revelations from me, you want communication with me, you want to speak face to face with me, got to put that flesh down. All right, chapter number 34, we got 10 more verses. Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, and went unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go amongst us, for it is a stiff-necked people. and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as not have been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. You know, God can do some incredible things with us. He can accomplish some incredible things through us, some everlasting things, some impactful things. You read church history, you read all the things that were accomplished through the martyrs, through preachers, through missionaries, people turning to Christ, nations being changed, headhunters, cannibals being changed, being turned. God can do some incredible things, but we've got to be willing. We've got to have a desire to be close to him. We've got to have a desire to be like Moses. But I'll tell you, it is an incredible life. You know, the idea that we're just living this, you know, boring Christian life when there's eternal implications for this life, right? There's eternal things that we can accomplish through the Lord and through his work. But I'm going to tell you this, you can't accomplish it if God's not there with you, right? And look, we can talk doctrinally, you know, we our standing is right in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm not, you know, preaching against any of that stuff. You trust in Jesus Christ. You're in his hand. You're not getting plucked out. All those things are true. But Bible also says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he's not going to hear me. And, you know, the idea that you can just live in sin and live in rebellion to the commands of God and think that God's going to use you, it's not going to happen. We've got to be submitted to his word. We've got to desire the presence of the Lord. We got to desire that presence. Because I'll tell you, his presence is better than his blessings. His glory, a relationship with him, communication with him, are better than all the ornaments he can give us. Better than all the things that we can receive. Better than the reputation and the honor and the glory that we might have by abiding by his commandments. His presence is better. His presence, fellowship with him, is far better than any of those things. Help us, dear God, Lord, to seek your presence. Lord, to be concerned with your presence, to be concerned with your ways. Help us, God, to live in a way that is pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.